All right, I'm here with DDA from TWC Security. And tell me a little bit about yourself. How long have you been at Microsoft, and what do you do here?
I joined 9 years ago, close to 9 years ago, originally in New Zealand in services, mm-hmm. and then moved to corporate 2.5 years ago, joined TWC Security on the Engineering Center, also known in the past as the SWI, Secure Windows Initiative. And I've been working since with Office on the latest product.
So what are we going to talk about today? We're talking about SDL, and what specifically?
So we'll talk about the SDL and how it helps secure Office 2010, the improvement that we did over the whole development cycle, and some of the cool features that are in the product that people will be able to use pretty soon.
Great. Very timely.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Time. So we look a little bit at the process, what is the SDL, and how it was applied in inside of Office. Then we'll end up with hopefully a cool demo that people will like.
Okay.
So what is this SDL thing? SDL is really a holistic approach from end-to-end introducing security and privacy into applications. So we'll mostly talk about the training up to the verification phase, as the product didn't release yet.
Yeah.
We'll not talk a lot about responses release. Hopefully there will be not a lot of those in the future.
We'll save that for the next one.
Exactly. So if we look at historical data, the number of built-in in Office has been climbing steadily since early 2006.
Yeah.
People have been attacking Office more and more because it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere on everybody's desktop. Office documents are highly successful.
Yes.
So if we look at all those vulnerabilities, we can see that 72% of those attacks are not working on the newest version.
Mm-hmm.
So there are still 28% that where it's working, and we want to shrink that even more. So that was the work we did over the last 2.5 years. So fuzzing is a technique where you can introduce bad data into an application, you are transforming the file and make it crash and see if you can exploit it.
Yeah.
So if we look at fuzzing, the amount of fuzzing we did is over 10 times more than what we did for the previous release. So we've been really stepping up and try to get rid of most of the issues that we had in those files.
Mm-hmm.
So we started with customized training. Lots of training was developed, designed during the cycle. So we were doing a big push on file fuzzing. We wanted really to get people to know how to do it and how to use the automated infrastructure that we set up.
Yeah.
The other one we did is big push around the web. Everybody's talking effectively moving to services.
Mm-hmm.
So web security was a hot topic for most of the division, and we work actively to create new content there.
Yeah. So how are the security problems different with the web services?
The security problem were different in the way that now, for example, SharePoint is moving to a multi-tenant scenario
where
you would have multiple companies hosted on the same servers, in fact. So the previous version of Office didn't really took that into account in the design, and we have some situation where we couldn't guarantee the security of all those tenants.
Sure.
So a whole redesign was done, and we'll go into that a little bit later, but there was a whole sandboxing solution designed to make sure that we can start to bring third-party code into those multi-tenant situation and mm-hmm. keep it secure.
Right.
So that was a complete different challenge, mm-hmm. probably. So if we look at the requirement phase, when we were really in the design phase of Office, we look at all the previous, effectively, security issues that came out, all the MSRC built-ins. Look at the competition and see where did they have weaknesses. And we fed that into a series of recommendations to Office to build into the product, and was mostly targeting all the file opening. People are opening a Word, an Excel, a PowerPoint document, and they are getting on. And we wanted to avoid that situation.
Yeah.
We look at how the security landscape was changing, seeing effectively from 2006 all those attacks on Office documents, while in the past it was mostly a Windows. So it was really a wake-up call. We need to change something drastically.
Mm-hmm.
We did a good job with the Office Division to work on prioritizing bugs. What are those security bugs? Which one do we fix? Which one could be accepted, could be acceptable? So there was a whole bug bar and bug prioritization done that was done with Office. In the past, past release was the last 6 weeks before release, everybody was, we were all triaging all those bugs. And now we had a process where was collaborative approach between TWC security and Office, sitting every week, going through all the bugs, so there was no nasty surprise at the end.
Yeah, how do you normally prioritize bugs like that?
So
do you go after what targets the most number of people, or the most destructive one, or
it will be it's a combination of both. It will be effectively we have a bug bar that we use in MSRC. When we get bug coming in, security bug coming in, we have effectively some criteria like, can I use that to exploit a machine across the internet?
Can I do
an internet worm with that? So all those are critical scenarios. Can I use that without being authenticated to the machine? Which means that I don't have an account there. It's a big problem. So we have a list, effectively a set of criteria, which is published on Microsoft.com. With this is effectively all we triage bugs.
Yeah.
And that's what was used with Office.
Right.
The next stage, the next big one in terms of design, is doing threat modeling. You can't protect your software if you don't know the threats that you are mitigating against.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a large-scale effort for the whole Office division, created over 500 threat models, and all of those were reviewed, and we found over 1,000 potential issues that were fixed during the design phase.
Yeah.
So really impressive effort for
So how exactly do you know the unknowable? With seems like threat modeling, you're trying to anticipate things that you can't really anticipate.
So yeah, it's a good
question. Hire good people would probably be the first step.
So one thing is effectively having the right people in the room.
Yeah.
There is one set of issues that usually is found by people who are designing the feature.
Yeah.
We are using a framework which is known as TRIDE, where we are trying to find all the spoofing attack, all the tampering attack. So that allows to guide the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that really helped is that we had a V team between Office and us, Office Trustworthy Computing and our team, to try to get security people in the room to bring effectively different question or identified additional issues.
Yeah.
So out of those 500 threat models, we identified all the high risk, and went for a secondary review with in-person review with the team so we could ask more questions and try to find more weaknesses. But it's effectively have the right people in the room and use a good framework like Stride, and then you can be methodical about it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
If we look at the implementation, Office has been always really good in terms of static code analysis. So they had a tool which is called OACR, Office Automated Code Review, which is a code analysis tool that is used to find compiler errors or any banned API use or anything that you shouldn't use in your code. So it's highly successful. We found some issue in the last release where some teams were turning off some of those warnings, and there was no way to find them in an easy way.
Yeah.
So for this release, we built a whole reporting solution so we could identify early any team switching off those warnings. So we could go back to them and say, not allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to see those warnings. We need to know why. The other thing, the other trend that we saw during our analysis was that there was more and more bugs leveraging integer overflow problem. So it's when you are using signed and unsigned integer, you get into the wrong arithmetic result, and you allocate not enough or too much memory, depending on the case. So we developed, Office developed a new version, David LeBlanc developed a new version of SafeInt, which is a library taking care of that and mitigating most of those, those class of bugs. So with one good development piece, we managed to cut a whole lot of those bugs.
Very nice.
We piloted a new version of GS, which shipped in Visual Studio 2010. Office was too late to build on Visual Studio 2010, but at least we did a pilot, and we saw really good results. No effect on performance, so that will be used for the next version of Office. But at least it gave us effectively some good hint at what to do in the future. The other one, if you run Office 2010 on Windows 7, the two latest one, that's you can take profit of SEH Hop, which is a new mitigation for a certain class of attack where the attacker will exploit the error handling inside of the operating system and we managed to get some remote exploit going in. So we have a mitigation on Windows 7 and Office 2010. So
another Office 2010, Windows 7, more secure than
best combination.
Definitely best combination.
Yeah. We improved the cross-site scripting mitigation in SharePoint. That's coming effectively from the whole services move where we need much more protection between companies sharing the same SharePoint implementation.
Yeah.
So that was an important part. The other part that, as I mentioned, was sandboxing in SharePoint, where we work across the code access security from .NET, a new developed sandbox in SharePoint, giving us really good protection against tenants.
Nice.
So we are pretty much ready for services world. Then if we look at the verification phase, all the testing that was done, a big one was distributed fuzzing. So Office had a big lab with a large number of machines, all network, and they were all doing fuzzing a little bit like a botnet. We've seen that. It's been mentioned in the press was the Office botnet was not using customer machine, was using the build lab. And with that, we did 800 million iteration over 400 file format.
Nice.
So to give you an idea, that's around 2 million a piece. The SDL is mandated 100,000 iteration.
Yeah.
So we went really above and beyond to try to find the tail end of those fuzzing bugs. And we definitely seen the tail end. The last couple of months, there was not a lot of bugs discovered anymore.
Great.
So we fixed over 1,800 security bugs, which is a really large number coming from fuzzing. The other thing that we developed was an automated infrastructure, so we can run all the SDL required tools on every build. So that gave us much more confidence. We could see effectively trend going down of issues and was easing definitely the pain coming from a final security review. A fair amount of internal and external pen testing. So we discovered lots of interesting issues with pen testers.
Yeah.
And so it was really definitely a worthwhile addition to the set of automated testing. So if we zoom in on a feature, we looked at, so the way that really the design was done for 2010 was four steps. We wanted to harden the attack surface, so it's not as easy to exploit Office documents. We wanted to reduce that attack surface, so no need to, for example, to open Coral documents if you don't have any Coral documents on your network.
Yeah.
We wanted to mitigate the exploit because we know that there are lots of unknown. After release, people are always coming with new way to exploit things. So we wanted to make it a little bit harder for those people to exploit Office documents. And the other one, which was really high on the agenda, was we wanted to improve user experience. The worst thing we wanted to do was repeat Vista with UAC prompts. So that was really not the way to go.
So prompts, not the best way to indicate to someone that something's going on? Or do you replace it with some other process?
So we replace those. So the prompts, if the prompts is clear, is actionable, can be a good way to tell the user, hey, something wrong is happening.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, most of our prompts are leading to a prompt fatigue, where just, hey, do you want to allow this action, yes or no?
Something else has popped up, let me get
rid
of it.
And it's pretty much, do you want to do your work, yes or no?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So we need to really to review the way we do all those prompting. Office did it in a way that I think is really a good example of being non-intrusive and try effectively to still make it as efficient as it could be.
Yeah. So don't let them fall into a hole, but don't stop them from working.
Agree.
Yeah.
Agree. And we'll see how it works, and you'll see that I think we solve effectively a good problem there. So the hardening the attack surface was use the SDL. That was no real surprise there, and Office did that really extensively. They contributed to the SDL. They are a major contributor to the SDL. The other thing was intense distributed fuzzing. That definitely we pretty much put lots of effort there because we know that it can make the product so much better. Then we added some new OS advances, new OS mitigation, leverage Deppin and NX, which are making exploits really hard on the platform. We use the new image parser that were coming with Vista. So we got rid of GDI in several areas. We improved the cryptography. That was a big overhaul, so customer can start to plug their own cryptography. Like if you are a Chinese government, you can start to have your own cryptography if you don't trust ours. And it's all supported.
So if I want to use my own cryptography, how do I start doing that?
So you just need to. So we use a Krypton XGen, which is in the OS. So you just need to tell the OS those are the DLL I'll use for crypto, and Office will automatically use your preference inside of the OS. So we don't hard code it in Office anymore.
It's, yeah.
We look at the OS. What do you use? Yep, we'll use that too.
And what cryptography do we use?
We use lots of crypto. We use AES. There's still support. We have SHA-2. So there's if you are running, there's SHA-2. Those are the biggest cryptography use that we have.
Great.
But it's pretty much agnostic with agile cryptography. We introduce support for a new type of digital signature, which is Xales, which allows for stronger digital signature. Was a request mostly from European countries. And for the first time, we have a domain policy for password encryption. So if you encrypt a document, it will go check on the domain and will apply the same policy. So if your administrator say that you need to use complex password to log in, you need to have complex password for your Office document. No more 1, 2, 3, 4. The reducing the attack surface came in two parts for the file open. One was file block. File block was introduced in Office 11 and was a big contentious feature for users because we introduced file block and we controlled the list of file that we blocked.
Yeah.
So that was there was a big uproar because suddenly customer couldn't open document on their network.
Yeah.
So the way we did it in 14, in 2010, was we are still blocking and use all legacy file formats, but it's based on a group policy. So the administrator can decide what document format they will allow on their network or not.
Yeah.
So that's a much better way. And the view by default is read-only. So you can't start to modify those old file formats and continue to keep them forever. But it's you can still read them and you can still print them.
Yeah.
So we tied it.
Copy and paste it into something new. Come on.
So we tied in with Protected Viewer, which is the next feature we'll discuss, which is allowing effectively to allow either you block the file or you can allow the file in a sandbox.
Yeah.
So the second feature in reducing the attack surface was Office file validation. So we had this effort going on based on the EU request to document the file format. So that gave us effectively a good ammunition to start to have a good documentation about the file format. So we use that on binary file. Every time you open a document, it goes through a file validation. We check for conformance to the documentation. Anything which is not effectively correct, the document is flagged as potentially suspicious or corrupted, and we'll open in a sandbox.
Yeah.
So that's a good way because that protects us against any unknown exploit.
Yeah.
Anything we don't know, if it's not in the documentation or it should be in the OLA structure, it will be effectively open in a sandbox.
Nice.
The other side effect of that is that potentially it will allow us to have much faster updates for changes to those rules. It's an XML file, so it's much easier than to have to patch Office. It will be, we'd probably be able to do a daily update if needed. If the Office file format is still under attack, we can probably go to like an antivirus type signature to update that feature. So if we look at this feature against MSRC case, 100% of the exploits we got in MSRC were blocked with that feature in PowerPoint.
Nice.
93.8 in Word, 82% in Excel. Excel is a bit more complicated file format.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, without updating your version of Office, you would be protected already effectively against those exploits.
Yeah. At least you can open up the PowerPoint that someone emails you without worrying about
exactly.
What might
That's happen. What we want. We want really to go back to the stage where people trust Office documents.
Yes.
Then mitigating the exploit was really the sandboxing. So Word, Excel, PowerPoint can run in the sandbox, and that prevents harmful document to damage content on your machine or your user data. And it helps users to make better trust decision because they can open the document, they can see it and say, yeah, that's what I was thinking I would get.
Yeah.
And they don't even need to leave that. So the three major applications have been redesigned to work with broker technology where we have, in fact, you have two different windows inside, for example, of Word. So you have here a host window at the top, which runs really the main UI, the ribbon. You have this host window, doesn't run the document per se. And then you have a client window, which is doing the rendering of the document and executing eventually code included in the document.
Yeah.
So we have two different windows. And by default, protected viewer will open file that fail file validation, any file that doesn't comply with your file block policy. So all document formats will open in the sandbox. Anything you get from the internet zone, anything you get through email, or file that you are opening in folders that you think are unsafe.
Yeah.
You don't know who owns that folder, it's on the network, it's unsafe. So they will all open in the sandbox. So you get some protection there. The improving user experience was really around better information to make this trust decision. How do I know that I can trust a document? In the past, it was really roll the dice and decide based on the result. So we wanted to avoid force that choice between do I want to stay secure and I don't open any document, or can I have some productivity, open document and see effectively.
I want to work without falling into a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing we wanted to do was remember the decisions that users were making. And don't ask that question over and over again.
I appreciate that. I like that.
And the last one was definitely to reduce the prompts.
I like that too.
Way too many prompts. So in terms of improving user experience, there are two types of content, really. There is the incoming one, the file you get from the internet, from email, and there is the stuff which is your content.
Yeah.
What's on your box. So you know what's on your folder. You put it there. So the incoming one, we have good protection from all class of malware inside of the sandbox. So all that, when you open an email attachment, will go through the validation. We check that effectively there is nothing out of documented way. So
it
if there is
okay.
any type of shellcode, we'll probably detect it. And the next step, we open it in the sandbox where there is no code execution. So at this stage, you can view the document. And you didn't have to do any trust decision. We open the document for you. We open it in the sandbox. We display the document, okay? Most of the scenario can stop here. You read the document you got by email. It's not what you were expecting. Maybe you knew effectively the sender, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
That case can stop there. If the user clicks enable this document at this stage, the document reopen, fully enabled. So if there is code in it, the code will run.
So you're saying I trust this content.
I trust this content. I read the content. This is effectively the document I was expecting.
Yeah.
Like I send you this presentation. You were expecting a presentation about securing Office 2010. If I start to send you something with fancy cats and all those things, I don't know. That was not what I was expecting. So at that stage, you can save the document on your machine. And if you reopen the document, we go back to the document open fully enabled instead of starting from the beginning again.
Nice.
So if we look at it with rear screen. So in 2007, we had lots of problems. So we had this OpenSafe cancel coming all the time when you were opening attachments. Or even if you were going to a preview, you still had to click the preview file.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an additional click that was not really required.
Yeah.
So what did we do in 2010? So if I look, I have your file. I have a PPTX, so it definitely contains code. If I click on it inside of Outlook, it will display without any prompts.
Yeah.
So you can see the content. You can look at all the slides. If I open it in PowerPoint, in the same way, I can see effectively all the slides. But I have no code running. Okay, the file is open in protected view, and if I want to enable editing, the user can go click enable, and at that stage, the PPTX will run with the code running the slideshow. So if I go in the file info, I'll have information that the file is open in protected view, and I should only enable editing if I really trust it. So the user is really under control, is in control. And so far, there has been no prompt. So we have just a little gold bar there at the top. The same if you receive a document, which is claim, okay, it's an invoice. Here you go, it's invoice for recent work. So if I open that document is not really an invoice, as you can see.
Yeah.
But it has some code in it. And it failed protected viewer, so we have a red bar now instead of a gold bar saying that there is a problem with the file. And there is no button to enable the content.
Yeah.
See the difference? So
yes.
We remove that choice for you because we know it fails validation.
Yeah.
So there is no point to tell you, hey, there is bad thing in that document.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to enable it? No. We can remove that decision for you because we know that there is invalid content in that document.
Yeah.
So we save those trust decisions. So same type of email. I receive a document which is macro enabled, has a macro in it. So when I'll save it to my desktop so I can open it in an easier way. I'll double click on it with Word. And what do you have? You have a document opening in Word telling you that it's in the sandbox because it contains active code. But you never saw a prompt coming with open safe cancel.
Yeah.
It just opens it.
Yeah.
You can open it in the sandbox without any big problem. So now that you enable that content, the macro are still disabled at this stage. Because we ask you then, do you want to enable now the code running into it? Because you could have just enough with just want to make some change in the text.
Sure.
I don't need the code running.
Yeah.
So now if the user is enabling the content, the macro is running, we get this prompt coming, macro is running. So if now the user reopens the same document a second or a third time, it will go straight to the macro is running. Because it's been enabled, so we remember the trust decision for every document you open. So we store that with the inside of the registry, so we know.
That's
you trust
not
it.
Stored in the document, stored
no.
in the registry.
So if you open that document on a different computer, you would have to re-enable it. So it's sticky to the computer.
Cool, okay.
So that was an example of one of the big features that we have coming in Office 2010, where we work a lot around improving security for end users.
Mm-hmm.
So in a summary, definitely the threat landscape has been changing. See that every day in my job, people are coming with new type of IDs and attacks. So we made lots of security investment in 2010.
Yeah.
Was definitely we wanted to improve security for our customers. And it's been done through three ways. One was the world security engineering, better threat model, better development practice, lots of testing. New protection technologies like file validator, protected viewer, and having layered defense. So at least we don't have any more. If you break one, you own the castle, but we have a fair amount of protection in it.
Yeah.
And the last one is really core security, improving data protection like with encryption, enabling new collaboration scenarios, having all those sandboxing inside of SharePoint and enabling SharePoint to be the collaborative platform of the future.
Great. Well, Didier, thank you for coming and showing this to us today. And come back anytime.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you.